Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Yes, Lord. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Break me, mold me, mold me, fill me, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to the scriptures today. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm just going to read a short verse in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And let's bow our heads to the Lord before we read his word. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, how we want you to fall on us today. How we love your Spirit, Lord. It's so unique, so wonderful, so sweet, Lord. How we want you to live in us, Lord. We want you to be pleased with us. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice today. Help us to see what you want us to see. Point us in the right direction. Correct us, Lord, as we need it, Father. And lift up the hands that hang down. Lord, we need you, God. This world's dying all around us. Help us, Lord. Visit us today. Bless the reading of your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, 1 Samuel chapter 3, just the first verse there. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. You may be seated. God bless you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Don't you love the word of God?
Amen.
You know, it's a light to us. God's word is a light. And I realize there's a lot of people away today, but we're here today.
Amen.
And I'm happy to be here today. I want you to know I'm happy to serve God.
Thank you, Lord.
I was telling Jamie I was preparing to go up to Canada and preach up there. And I had the whole day yesterday. Maureen was with her mother and Amber's at camp. And I just had the whole day just praying and seeking God. And, you know, that's the greatest thing we can do in our life.
Amen.
That's the most encouraging thing you can do.
Amen.
If you're feeling depressed, just get in the presence of God.
Amen.
Because he is encouraging. He is uplifting. Yes, we may get correction, but that's good.
Amen.
Correction's good. We need to hear his voice.
Amen.
And so to me, just thinking about the things that were on my heart and what he wanted me to preach, I'm going away in a couple weeks, July 18th, 19th, 20, 21. So just pray for us. Brother Carmen Mills is the assistant pastor there. Brother Ivan Carr, you might not know. You know Brother Carmen, but you don't know Brother Ivan. He's still preaching in his 80s. And he's still doing well, and he still goes up and down the aisles preaching the gospel. And I love that. When you meet this brother, I met him when I first started preaching. And I felt like, you know, I had such a hunger, you know, I just knew about Brother Branham's ministry a short time, and I started preaching. It was about 3 or 4 years after I was converted, and so I've been feeding on the ministry. And you know, I always thought I'd love to have been in Brother Branham's meetings. You ever feel that way sometimes? I would love to have been. Sometimes in the tapes, you feel like you're right there. You know, it's such an anointing. But when I went up to a minister's meeting in Connecticut, and Brother Ivan was there, now some 25 plus years ago, I guess, And he stood up there as in he was elderly then, and he just preached so wonderful. I just felt like this is what it would be like You know, he was talking about holding up a standard, you know. This message is a standard.
Amen.
It's different than the other standards in the world.
Amen.
God gave us a standard.
Amen.
And if we yield to the message of the hour, you'll be living at a very high standard.
Hallelujah.
See? And so, anyway, he was preaching about that and preaching to other ministers. I thought he did a wonderful job. I had such respect for him. And I always wanted to visit him. And I got to go up there one time. And I was very happy because Carmen gave a report back that after the meetings last time, I had one of those Mark 16 prayer lines, you know, where not that we labored and prayed for many hours, we just said, here's God promised that it's true. Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. They lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. It doesn't even say they prayed, you know. So I talked about that. Faith was high, and they all came through, and we just prayed, and the other ministers. And the report came back that the pastor's wife had a locked shoulder somehow. And Carmen said, hey, I'd want to know if, you know, I just want to let you know her shoulder was set free after that prayer line.
Amen.
You know, God is still God.
Amen.
You say, well, you know, that's not raising the dead or that's not this and that. God still does miracles.
Amen. Amen.
The sun is always shining. It's just the cloud of unbelief gets in the way.
Amen.
That's what he said. If God be with us, where are the miracles? So I'm really looking forward to going up there. And yesterday I had time to just pray and just be alone. And it's not that I don't love my wife and family. I love them very dearly. And that's the problem. When they're around, I want to be with them. See, but if they all go away and I'm by myself, that's an opportunity to get in God's presence, you know. And so if you have, you know, sometimes people don't like being alone and they'd rather be around people. But listen, if you're by yourself, just pray and get the presence of God.
Amen.
And he'll bless your soul.
Amen.
Amen. So I had felt to give my testimony on this trip. And sometimes, you know, that's, you know, Brother McKinstry, Tom McKinstry said he struggled about giving it. And I understand that, you know, you don't want to talk about yourself. But here's the way I look at it. If God did something for you, that's an eternal event.
Amen.
That's a significant event. If you know God did something for you, it's worth talking about.
Amen.
It's a light in a dying world. And so I started going through some old notes of mine, and I found back in 2006, I forgot about it. I was in Germany, and I gave my testimony to a youth camp. And I was just reading through the notes, and you know, just I was overwhelmed. I started crying. God has been so good to me.
Amen.
I hope you feel that way.
Hey,
I mean,
hey.
I appreciate
praise
the Lord so much right now. I just love the Spirit of God. I love to get out of myself and out of the way. I can get in the Spirit of God. Just get caught up in the Spirit of God. And I think that get tapped into the Spirit of God. You know, those seven candlesticks, they were tapped into the oil, you know, drawing on that oil. We can draw on that oil.
Amen.
We have access through Calvary and the blood of Jesus Christ, especially through the message of the hour. We don't have to listen to creeds and dogmas. We could go straight to God with the truth.
Amen.
What a privilege we have. So today it caught my attention as I was reading about Samuel here. There was no open vision. And we're going to talk about that today, no open vision. And Brother Bram spoke about this time and the days before Samuel's ministry. Well, in Samuel's day, there was a vision, you know, because the prophet was there to have visions and speak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But many times there's big gaps in history where there's no open vision. And in the days of Eli, the priest, he had kind of gotten away from God. He really, you know, he may have been a good man deep down, but he had gotten to the place where his sons were really out of control and he was allowing it and all kinds of nonsense was going on. So then God raised up a prophet. Remember, he used Hannah. Listen, God does what he wants to do.
Amen.
To produce what he needs.
Amen.
And, you know, when I look at Hannah, remember she was barren? Now, nobody wants that condition. Nobody, but that condition threw her into desperation. See, and we've preached on this before that, see, Hannah, she knew she was supposed to have a child. And she was barren. And the husband, at that time, he had another wife, and she's having children, and she's desperate. You know, God created that situation.
Amen.
He created the situation. He allowed the situation. Her womb was shut. She couldn't have children. And this creates a desperation in her. And so she's seeking God. And here the priest, you know, the priest is like, you know, what is she, crazy? Is she drunk? You know, she's just praying to God. She's desperate. You know, when you're desperate, other people won't understand, but that's okay. God understands.
Amen.
God created the situation sometimes to draw us to himself. If you're desperate, God created that situation. Seek him. He has the answers. So she goes to Eli, and then she, even though he wasn't in the best condition, she was able to take a word from him as a word from God and said, listen, you know, are you drunk? And she's like, I'm not drunk, but I'm burdened for God. And so, well, whatever you have, it's yours. And so she takes that from God, and then she was no more sad. Her countenance was happy. She's like, I'm getting my son. You know, she accepted it.
Amen.
Before she felt anything. Just like Mary accepted the word of the Lord, didn't feel any baby, but was telling people she's having a baby before she felt. You know what? If God gives you a word, you can start talking about it.
Amen.
I'm healed. He promised I was healed.
Amen.
I'm saved. He promised I'm saved.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is mine. He promised me the Holy Ghost. You can take God at his word because he cannot lie. That's the one thing he can't do. So Hannah went, she took that word, and then she just was happy, and then she has a baby, and she promised God in her desperation, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you.
Amen.
Now I step back and say, if she wasn't in that desperation, would she have made that promise? See, I believe God created the situation, the desperate situation, that led her to the place where she was willing to give. I mean, anybody that's had a son, you don't want to give a child away. And she gave the child for the service of the Lord. Well, that was all in the plan of God. He was going to be that prophet. Because the conditions were so bad, there was no open vision, and God was going to send Samuel. See, God's in control. Why am I talking about it? We're living in a time, God has a purpose for us. He may allow a desperate situation to come on us, but don't fear. God's in control.
Amen.
Keep seeking God with all your heart, and God has the answer. So Hannah had Samuel, and then Samuel is with Eli. You know, God blessed her with other children after that. You know that? So she's barren, and all of a sudden the floodgates are open, right? She has other children. So Sam, she would go every year and give him a coat. And so Samuel's growing up as a little boy, and then at night, he starts to hear the voice of God. Of course, he thinks it's Eli. Samuel, you know? He's hearing God. He goes, well, what do you want? Eli's like, why are you waking me up? I didn't call you. You know the story. It happens a few times. And then Eli gets a clue. He's like, God's speaking to the little boy. He said, listen, now if you hear it again, say, speak, Lord, my servant heareth. Your servant heareth. And so Samuel does that, and then God gives a word, a direct word, to Samuel about Eli. And it's not good news for Eli. So Samuel is hesitant to tell him. Eli gets in the morning. What did he say? Listen, if you don't tell me everything, you know. So Samuel's like, all right, you want to know. So in verse 13 of chapter 3, it's just part of it. God speaks to Samuel about Eli. He says, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. So God was very sincere. His sons were wicked, unbelievably wicked. And they cheated the people and taken an offering the way they did it. And they laid with women that were a church, I mean, they made themselves vile, the Bible said. They made themselves vile. What a terrible time, you know. The word of the Lord was precious in those days.
Amen.
Think about that. Because there was no open vision. So, Brother Ram said, what is a vision? He said, then he's talking about this scripture. What is a vision then? He says, it's a direct word of the Lord. And the Lord's word was precious. See, a vision, when a prophet has a vision, a seer, and he sees something, that's God. It's thus saith the Lord. He's seeing what's going to happen. And Samuel was spoken to by God. He had a direct word from God. Prophets are in a different office. See, and there's major prophets, there's minor prophets. Amen. I believe God has prophets.
Amen.
I believe in the gift of prophecy.
Amen.
See, Brother Branham talked about the gifts, and he said everybody focuses on speaking in tongues, but there's tongues, and then there's interpretation, and there's prophecy. And an interpretation of tongues, he said, would not just be repeating a scripture, because there was a lot of that in Brother Branham's time amongst the Pentecostals. And we know there was a lot of flesh, you know, but some of it was true, obviously, because they would speak in tongues and then say exactly what the angel said to him. So, and Brother Branham knew there was a mixture. But he said tongues and interpretation should be a specific word to somebody. I remember I was preaching about the gifts are for today, because a lot of people don't believe the gifts are for today. I do.
Amen.
I don't care whether we see them or not. I believe that all God's spiritual gifts should operate in each local assembly, because that's part of the message of the hour.
Amen.
And it's in the Bible. We can't take that away. And so I was preaching somewhere the gifts, and an older lady came up to me, and she was a sainted woman. I could tell she was just a real Christian. She had a wonderful spirit about her. And she pulled me aside. She's shaking my hand. She said, "God bless you, brother. We don't hear that no more, but keep preaching that. My husband went into a mission somewhere, and he was a sinner, and the Spirit of God fell. They spoke in tongues and interpreted and told him his life, and he got convicted and became a Christian. And that's my husband. Keep preaching it, brother."
Amen.
I said, "Yes, sister, I will." Pray for me. Pray for me. Praise God. That's the truth.
Amen.
Doesn't matter if it's rarely heard, it's the truth anyway. God is still God. He's still on the throne. He's a supernatural God. He moves in supernatural ways. We should be expecting that always. Now that quote, Sean, about the rare thing, do you have that? Hearing God's voice, a rare thing. Brother Branham said, the voice of God, hearing his voice in that day, talking about Eli's day, was a rare thing. See, the scripture said the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Brother Branham's saying hearing the voice of God in that day was a rare thing. See, there was no open vision. And it was a rare thing, the real voice of God, because people had gotten away. They had a church that in that day, they just didn't follow the commandments of the Lord. They had a minister named Eli. He got away from God by just teaching the precepts of what the people wanted to believe. That's so common today. If that isn't the parallel to this day, he just taught the people and he took the choice ones. He had his sons to take the best of the flesh from the hooks out of the offering. It just became a place where the offering was the main thing.
Amen.
You know, the offering's never been the main thing.
Amen.
You know, David had that revelation, you know. He said, "Burnt offering and this thou wouldest not." Right? That's not what God required. But a broken spirit. We are the offering.
Amen.
We are the offering for God.
Amen.
So what a terrible thing, you know. There was no direct word from God in that day. There was no open vision. There was no prophet in the land. You know, how far today, think of it, how far so many professed Christians today are from God. From the real truth. Think of it. No open vision to guide them. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Where there's no vision, the people perish. We need God's vision. It's not like an optional thing.
Amen.
We need the voice of God.
Amen.
We need to see what He's showing His prophets.
Amen.
Many people read the Bible and they're not seeing it right because they're not guided by the vision from God. They have no open vision. Praise God.
Amen.
Think of it. They were living in Eli's day. Think about it. They're living under religiousness that wasn't right. Religiousness that wasn't right. Is that the picture of today? That is the picture today. When I think of the world today, they're not living under a direct word from God, but they're living in a false religious security. False security. And when I think about it, they have big buildings, big programs, and never without a musician, Tim. Never. They got orchestra. The music's the main thing.
Amen.
They get the preacher a few minutes. They got big programs, big churches, big crowds. But are they pleasing God? You don't have to say so much of what's called music today, Christian music. I really wonder if God is pleased with that. Sounds like rock and roll to me. I used to listen to rock and roll and say, what's the difference? There's a spirit behind every bit of music.
Yes, sir.
And when you receive it, you receive the spirit that's behind it. Now, I agree, it's hard to tell sometimes, and it's hard, you know, I might have an opinion and not say nothing because some people, but some music is actually sensual. They're worshiping God, but there's some spirit about it that's weird. I wonder, are they worshiping God or are they worshiping worship? Help us, Lord. Help us to see the difference.
Amen.
You know, if we don't have the Spirit of God, we're not going to know. We're just going to get caught up in all of that.
Amen.
So, exactly where the world is today, not living under a direct word from God, but God wasn't pleased in the day of Eli with their religiousness, and God's not pleased today with most of what's called Christianity today. Do you realize the rapture is going to take place, and the majority of professed Christians aren't going to go in the rapture? The majority are going to be left behind thinking that they were going to go in the rapture. Why is that? A false light, a deception. I thank God for the message of the hour.
Amen.
I thank God for a clear-cut voice.
Amen.
We need to hear that voice.
Amen.
We need to hear that voice. The word of the Lord was precious in those days, no open vision. Brother Ram said the real voice of God was a rare thing. It's still true today. The whole world is religious. You know, everywhere you go, people... I don't know about you, sometimes you meet people, they really look like the devil, act like the devil, and all of a sudden they say something that wants to claim to be a Christian. And I almost fall off my chair all the time.
Amen.
I meet people at work, they curse and they're bitter and hateful, and they say, I'm a Christian. Well, there ain't no Christian spirit you got. What you're manifesting is not Christian. Amen.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be a judge, but you know what spirit you're manifesting. You know, it's by their fruits you shall know them.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Is it love, joy, peace, positive, you know, encouraging, or is it negative and bitterness and vile and hatred and cursing and, you know, listen, it's pretty plain to me. One's drawn from above and one's drawn from beneath. It's pretty plain. Many false lights, false voices. Jesus always rebuked the religious that were teaching the wrong thing. Always. Always. And the religious spirits hate that because the religious spirits, they're the most deceptive. Even more deceptive than a worldly spirit.
Amen.
Is a false religious spirit.
Amen.
Matthew 15 Verse 7, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men.
Amen.
Think about that. People are actually worshiping God, but it's in vain. It does no good. It's not helping them. They're not pleasing God. Didn't Jesus say many? He said many will come to me in that day and say, have not I done this? Have not I done that? Have not I done many wonderful works? There's many wonderful works being done in the name of Jesus, and he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. That's brutal. That's the day we're living in.
Amen.
Deception. Many people deceived. In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine. People took the word of God, they twisted it to mean something different. That's what happened. Demon spirits, of course, inspiring that, and they pushed to others false teaching as if it's the word of God. Perverted the word of God. That's what most denominationalism is. See, they did exactly what Brother Branham said we can never do. He said, how does a denomination get started? Brother Branham preached this. He said, how does a nomination get saved? He said, God reveals something to somebody. You mean a denomination got started with a real revelation? Yes. But what happened is they took that revelation and they put a period behind it instead of a comma. And they said, I believe this, period. And if you don't all believe like me, you're out. See, and by putting that period behind it, they are not open to new revelation. They're not, see, the Ephesian church was advanced, right?
Amen.
But if you look in the book of Acts, the Ephesian church was the one baptized under John. They had light of that hour, but then they were able to move on into the Holy Ghost,
Amen.
Into following Jesus.
Amen.
It's not just receiving one revelation. People get one revelation, they get all excited, they think there's something special, and they get lifted up. That's the disaster right there. If you stay humble, God will be able to correct you. But if you get lifted up, you won't receive correction. People get a revelation, they think there's something special, they think there's something great, they don't need to listen to anybody else. So much of Christianity, modern Christianity that I see, is people lifted up and all this kinds of false confidence and bad spirits. We need the Spirit of the living God. He's sweet and humble. And he'll in you, He'll receive correction. He'll help you to receive correction. See, why does God love His prophets? See, because that was the mechanism He could speak His word directly. Very clearly. You know, prophets destroy creeds. It's a beautiful thing. Prophets destroy false religion. They destroy wrong ideas.
Amen.
And that is if you receive their word.
Amen.
See, a lot of people can hear the voice of a prophet. Most of the prophets were rejected. Look at the Bible. They hated the prophets. The people that the prophets were sent to ended up hating the very prophet that was to help them.
Amen.
Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen. It's still true today. It's still true today.
Amen.
I've been around people say, that's those tapes and stuff. That's old, like, wiggle worm stuff. We got higher revelation today. I'm like, if you had a higher revelation, you wouldn't be saying that about a prophet of God.
Amen. Amen.
Or what's worse, leaving those tapes on the shelf, never listening to them. I don't need that. You know, you may not say you hate the prophet and you hate the message, but actions speak louder than words. We've got to make time in our life to hear that open vision, to hear what God sent to this age. It is that overcoming eagle in this age. How did they overcome in Paul's day? There was a lion spirit. They got in that spirit and they called out what was right and wrong. It was very clear in that day what was right and wrong. Paul just said, false, false. And the people received it. And then the ox age, they overcame by self-sacrifice. They laid down their lives. For how long? Many, many years. Hundreds, thousands of years. See, and then in Luther's day and Wesley's day, that man spirit, that anointing came, and they overcame because God used the good intellect of man to go into the Word of God and combat those creeds.
Amen.
And now we live in an eagle age. The last one is the eagle. That eagle anointing, that is a prophet's ministry.
Amen.
And it's a rare thing to the world. They have not received that prophet. Many people don't even know it exists. Many people, when they hear about it, they reject it. But see, those that can receive it and believe it and hear it and live under the anointing of that, that's how we're going to overcome in this age.
Amen, bro.
Not by leaving it on a shelf and say, I don't need that. I'm too busy. You're missing out. You're living under no open vision. You're at risk of being just like the rest of the world, religious but wrong.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Amen.
We need it. I need it. We all need it. God, help us today, you know. People don't want to hear prophets because they don't want to accept correction. And a prophet's ministry is very sharp. It's cutting. Brother Branham's ministry, listen, You know, Brother Momlis was a good friend of mine, and he loved the message of the hour, and he believed. He said, John, the blood, the cross, and Pentecost, what else is there to preach? He was an old-fashioned Pentecostal preacher. Amen. And he loved this message of the hour. He said, John, sometimes I listen to Brother Branham, and I wonder if I'm even saved, staggering. I know exactly what he's talking about. That preaching's so hard sometimes. It's so cutting sometimes that our flesh doesn't want it. But the Spirit of God in our life rejoices. Amen. At the correction of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
At the true correction in the right spirit and the right word and the truth comes into our lives and pricks our heart and it leads us to repentance.
Amen.
But the people of this day don't want nothing of it. See, think of the day before Samuel. See, before God used him as his prophet, the people were in darkness. The word of God was rare. The people were wrong, and they didn't know it. So shall it be in the last days. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. Laodicean church age. I know thy works, verse 15. That thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Brothers, sisters, we don't want to be lukewarm.
Amen.
We don't. We want to be a house on fire on a windy day.
Amen.
You can't put it out. You cannot put out a fire, house on fire on a windy day. The devil's not going to put you out. When you're on fire for God and the joy of the Lord's in your heart and the Spirit of God's anointing you and you're seeking God with all your heart, the devil has nothing. He can't even find you. We can get so far into Christ, the devil can't find us. He doesn't know what to do with us. That's being on fire for God.
Amen.
Where you're rejoicing in the Spirit, you're feeding on God.
Amen.
But cold, there's many people cold. They're not even lukewarm. It's like, yeah, I guess so. But he said it right. If your religion has no emotion, you need to bury it because it's dead.
Amen.
There's emotion in seeking God.
Amen.
There's emotion in contacting God. There's emotion to think about what God's done in your life.
Amen.
I'm not saying we need to be emotional crazy people, but there is emotion that grows with it.
Amen.
We shouldn't be dead and cold. And then if you're lukewarm, that's worse. I'll spew thee out of my mouth, he said. God, help us to be on fire.
Amen.
Not cold or lukewarm.
Amen.
I know thy works. Spew thee out of my mouth. 17, because thou sayest, look, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Do you realize what a disaster it is to get to the place where I don't need anything. I don't need anybody. The people I know in my life that are the most needy say, I don't need any help. We all need help.
Amen.
We need God's help.
Amen.
We need one another.
Amen.
I don't need anything. That pride is a prison house. It'll keep you in bondage till you admit that you need help. Jesus said to the self-righteous Pharisees, he's like, you know, the sick need the physician.
Amen.
Why do you go to sinners? Because the sick, they're the ones that listen, go to the doctor. You guys think you don't need help. How can I help you? God can't help us till we see that we need help.
Amen.
We need help. How do we see we need help? How do we get the faith that we need help? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the word of God, sitting under a vision of a prophet. You want to sit under a comfortable modern day vision? Go to a modern denominational church.
Mm-hmm.
They'll let you do all the sin you want, and you're okay.
Amen.
That can't happen under the voice of God through a mighty prophet.
Amen, brother.
You can't sit under a prophet's voice and be comfortable in the world. It doesn't happen. So what happens subconsciously to people? They want the world, so they just keep living in the world and they kind of shut down that voice of the prophet. Well, I'm too busy to listen to those tapes. And they are from many years ago, so I don't need them. That's a lie of the devil.
Amen.
That's the open vision of this hour. Rapturing faith lays in the messages. That's what he said.
Amen.
See, rapturing faith is in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The message of the hour will lead you to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
See, and it'll lead you to the truth of the gospel.
Amen.
See, Brother Branham's ministry was not new. It was the old-fashioned religion. But all the new modern perverted religions had crowded out with all these false voices, and God needed a direct word to slice through all that and restore our faith back to the original.
Amen.
So that we could hear properly and see properly.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at the last stage. Did I read that? Did I read verse 17? No. Because thou art, sayest, I'm rich, increase with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not, how terrible, and knowest not thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked.
Hallelujah.
The world doesn't know. They're all, let me just say it. These women are all dressed like prostitutes running around the church like they're saints. They're naked and they don't know it. I thank God he sent a direct word to us.
Amen.
We got people drinking and smoking, gambling, all kinds of stuff, thinking they're Christians. I thank God he sent a prophet with a direct, clear word.
Amen.
You can't live in sin and stay under the ministry of a prophet.
Amen.
Just doesn't happen. Praise God. But you know what? If you get the Holy Ghost, he'll cleanse this stuff anyway.
Amen.
He'll get that out of your life anyway. A Holy Ghost will cause a woman to dress modestly.
Hallelujah.
A Holy Ghost will cause women and men to obey the Word of God. Not put your reasoning to it and have some kind of weird ideas. Well, it doesn't mean that. It means this. That's perversion.
Amen.
And the prophet's ministry will blow that out of the water. But then you go, oh, well, I'm not accepting the word of that prophet because I know better. Demons causing you to believe like that. Demon spirits keeping you prisoner in bondage by saying, thinking, I know better off than God's prophet.
Amen.
That is so obnoxious, it stinks in the nostrils of God.
Amen.
And you're religious and dead and don't know it.
Amen.
We need to accept God's word.
Hallelujah.
When you get a ministry that goes around the world and thousands of souls saved and thousands of miracles, maybe I'll listen to your opinion.
Amen.
I can't believe people so easily throw away what Brother Branham taught.
Hallelujah.
They throw, oh, that's just his opinion.
Amen.
I could do this, I could do that, it don't matter.
Amen.
You better be careful.
Hallelujah.
Look at the last age. People in a horrible condition don't know it. They don't seek to get right with God because they don't know they're not right. They don't know it. They reject God's word. Because they can't see how wretched. They can't see the real condition. You know, oh God, open our eyes.
Amen.
That should be our prayer.
Amen.
Not holding on to what we think is right. We should go before God in sweetness and humility and say, God, open my eyes to my real condition.
Amen.
Show me where I'm wrong. Show me clearly where I'm wrong.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Let me just read a couple scriptures here that tie together. Joshua chapter 24, verse 31. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this verse of Scripture. Joshua 24. This is the end of Joshua now. His ministry is at the end. He says, it says, and Israel served the Lord, watch this now, all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, so all the guys that knew Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. See, Israel served God while Joshua was there. See, because I believe Joshua was a prophet. And see, and then all the people that were taught under his ministry, see, they held the standard. All the people that held the standard. And then after that, after they all died out, we're living in that kind of day. The people that walked with Brother Branham, that knew Brother Branham, they're dying off. That generation's so old now. See, but they knew the works of God. Another generation. Look at Judges chapter 2. So Joshua and Judges comes after Joshua, right? Verse 10, and also all that generation that were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. See, so what happened? There was a generation that knew the Lord. They saw the works. They saw the Red Sea open. They saw Jordan open. Those people, right? Well, the ones that doubted, they died off. But Joshua and Caleb, they saw Jordan go in and they went over. And there was a generation that knew the Lord. And God placed them in the land, right? And then time goes on and Joshua ministers over and Joshua dies and those men die. And then a generation rose up that didn't know the Lord. Now what happens? They didn't know the Lord. See, and it says, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works he had done. They served other gods. They went to other gods. If you don't know the Lord in the way of the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're going to serve another spirit. That's the bottom line. You must be born again. Amen. We must have an experience with God. Amen. Or you're going to be drawn away by another spirit. Amen. Judges 21:25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Amen.
That's the day we're in today.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be that way for us. There's an open vision for us. There's an anointed ministry for us that we can access anytime we want. It's never been easier to hear the voice of a prophet for those that believe Brother Branham was a prophet.
Amen.
You know what the devil's done to some people? He's made them question if he is a prophet.
Amen.
He's made them question his teaching. He's made them question everything. They start so many questions and then they walk away.
Amen.
Tell you what, I ain't walking away. I believe God sent a prophet to this generation.
Amen.
And his name is William Marion
Amen.
Branham. And he was the literal fulfillment of Malachi 4.
Amen.
Luke 17:30.
Amen.
Matthew 17. He was that one that Elijah to come.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the living Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I believe with all my heart.
Amen.
And I'll tell you this. I don't believe it because of something he taught me. I believe it because God revealed it to me.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what man says. I believed it before I understood it.
Hallelujah.
God quickened to me that that man was telling the truth.
Glory.
Praise the Lord. I'm so glad of that.
Amen.
I'm so glad I don't need a fishing buddy and I don't need this and that. I know God what God did.
Amen.
My prayer is, oh God, let us see our true condition.
Amen. Amen.
That's got to be our prayer. Let me see my true condition.
Amen.
We don't want to live in a way that's right in our own eyes, do we? And displeasing to God? Do you want to be like the rest of the religious world? Poor, wretched, blind, miserable, and don't know it?
Amen.
No, we want to hear the voice of God.
Amen.
We want to hear his correction.
Amen.
We want to hear his truth. We don't want something perverted. We don't want something twisted. We want the truth, the raw truth of the Word of God. And if it cuts, let it cut.
Amen.
If it tears my hide, let it tear my hide.
Amen. Hallelujah.
If it pricks my heart, so be it.
Amen.
If it leads me to repentance, praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
That's what we need. Real repentance. A broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise. I want to ask you, you don't have to tell me, you answer yourself. When's the last time you were broken in the Spirit of God? When's the last time the Spirit of God convicted you and you had a broken and contrite spirit?
Amen.
Well, Brother John, I remember many, many, many years ago, maybe there was a time. That's not right. You're not getting in the presence of God. I don't care if you think you're praying. When you break into the presence of God, he's going to correct you where you're wrong. And Brother Bam said, every one of us backslides every day.
Amen.
We all need correction. What we need is that wonderful ability to receive correction. That desire to be corrected by God.
Amen.
Not to reason away sin in our life.
Amen.
That should be our attitude. But many don't want the truth. They don't want to hear God. They would rather not listen to a vindicated prophet. They'd rather be in their own delusion, or worse yet, they reject the voice of a prophet. Do you realize how serious that is? We're living in a time where you're going to the rapture or you're going into the tribulation period. I believe we're that close to the end. It's not that everybody's going to die out here. No, we're at the coming of the Lord. He comes as a secret, sudden catching away. The world's going to know nothing about it. They're going to keep going on thinking everything's okay. But the bride's going to be caught out of here.
Amen.
All those with the wedding garment. What is the wedding garment? Well, the wedding garment's the word. I got the word.
Amen.
Brother Bram said the wedding garment was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what we need, that experience with God. Lord, give it to us all. Prophet of God speaks a clear cut, direct word. The word is sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, it cuts deep. I know that. I've been cut many, many times, cut. And it cuts the spirit and soul, man. It exposes where we're wrong. But it leads us to repentance. Leads us to Calvary. Correction is a great blessing.
Amen.
Now, condemnation's from the devil when he questions whether you're going to even be saved. But conviction of the Holy Ghost is from God.
Hallelujah.
Where we get pricked in our heart and it leads us to urgency. It leads us to seek God. It leads us to get out of our numbness that we're in. Get out of our sleep and slumber. Get out of our lukewarmness. Get away from the things of the world. Start feeding on God. Start seeking God.
Amen.
Every one of us needs that.
Amen.
Every one of us.
Hallelujah.
We cannot hold, it is not possible to hold on to the things of the world while sitting under the ministry of God's prophet at the end time.
Amen.
You can't do it.
Oh,
you can't do it. The voice of God, rarely heard. You know, one of the reasons is because there's so many other voices. There's so many other attractive voices. What are other voices in this day? Pleasures. Brother Rand preached about the voice of pleasures. There's so many entertainments. There's never been a time, especially in USA, where there's been so many entertainments that's accessible to people. Is it good for us? It's not good for us. It's not. We have to be careful what we're feeding on, what we're listening to. The voice of selfishness. Well, I deserve this. I deserve that. I need this. I need that. Even advertising does that. You deserve this. You deserve that. They're trying to sell you a product. And they're using that voice of selfishness. Greed. Pride. Lust. They all have voices speaking to us. And there's spirits behind every one of those voices. You know, I remember I was at a youth camp, I told you, and I was preaching about voices, and I thought of this today, this morning, just back in the office. You know, a billboard is a voice. How many knows that's true?
Amen.
You're driving down the highway, and billboards are perverted today, just like never before, right? You can hardly look at some of them. So there's a billboard up there. Let's just take a glass of people love soda, you know, which sodas is like asking for diabetes. If you drink a lot of soda, we shouldn't drink any soda. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to live, but I've got that revelation. I will not drink any soda or diet soda ever again because it's just wrong. The food industry doesn't care if you get sick. They just want your money. That's why they put sugar in everything. So that we're addicted to sugar, just like someone's addicted to cocaine, and subconsciously we're just want more sugar. So you're driving down the highway and there's a glass of soda and they put ice in it and they got drips of water coming down the side. You look at that thing and you're thirsty. And then something says to you, you're thirsty, pull off the highway and get a drink. Is that true or not? You're driving down the road and you see this big burger there and it's got just juice around, it's got beautiful, it never looks the way it is in the picture, and it's got the bacon, and it's got cheese, and it's got, and it just looks so good. Something says to you, you're hungry, pull off the road, where should I go? Oh, there on the sign it tells me where I can go. What is that? It's a voice.
Amen.
But what's behind what you see? There's people. Planning. There's a boardroom. There could be a dozen people around there. All right, we only got 5 seconds to catch them. What is it going to be? They're scheming. They're planning.
Amen.
To capture us and take our money so that we eat their product.
Amen.
Why am I getting all excited about that? All these other voices are the same way. There's devils behind all that.
Yes, sir.
All the pleasure of the world and the lust of the world and the pride of life and greed. Oh, you need all this money. You got to have a big bank account. You got to have every... You know what? All the money we save is going to be taken away.
Amen.
Amen.
Because all money is going to go to nothing.
Amen.
People live their whole lives trying to store up treasures that are here. Jesus told us, don't do that.
Amen.
Did he not?
Amen.
Amen.
Store up treasure in heaven where they can't take it away.
Amen.
Oh, help us, Lord.
Amen.
So just remember, when there's a voice speaking to you, there's a spirit behind every voice.
Amen.
There's a motive, there's an objective, there's a plan. And God, I mean, God's spirit has a plan too. He wants to get us saved. He wants to get us filled with the Holy Ghost. He wants us to get us yielding to His spirit so He can keep working. And the devil has a plan too. He wants to derail you. He wants to get you off so God can't use you.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Amen.
I'm not mad, really. I am so happy today.
Amen.
I am so happy for the grace of God.
Amen.
And I know for me, it doesn't take long. I get under the anointing of Brother Bram's preaching, and bam, the conviction comes.
Amen.
It comes like that. And God starts showing me, you did something wrong there. You had a wrong attitude there. And I'm like, oh, God, save me, Lord.
Amen.
Save me from myself.
Amen.
I need to hear that voice.
Amen.
I need to be under that anointing.
Amen.
Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you,
Lord.
People don't realize all these voices have captured people's minds, and the truth is the voice of God, though it's cutting, is trying to set us free. You know, so many people are like the rich young ruler. He comes running to Jesus, came to the right person, he asked the right question, he was in the right spot at the right time. What must I do to be saved, to have eternal life? But yet, he rejected what Jesus said to him. Give away all your money and give it to the poor and follow me. Here's what I think. Now, you don't have to accept it, but the rich young ruler started thinking, he's trying to hurt me. Jesus wasn't trying to hurt him. He was trying to help him with the thing that was a problem in his life. God can get very specific sometimes.
Hallelujah.
If something convicts you, if you know something's wrong, God's trying to set you free from that thing.
Amen.
He'll bring it back to that point and back to that point, and you will go no further till you reject that demon.
Amen. Glory. Hallelujah.
Help us, Lord.
Amen.
We got to come back to that place. The rich young ruler could have come back to Jesus and said, you know what? I thought about it. I need you more than I need all that money.
Amen.
And then he would have been amazed at the freedom he found by the things he leaves behind.
Amen.
We'll be amazed by the freedom we find at the things we leave behind.
Amen.
I love that song. There's a song like that.
Hallelujah.
You can't imagine the freedom you find by the things you leave behind.
Amen.
See, they're binding us now. They're in bondage to these things. We're in bondage to greed and selfishness and lust. But if we let the Holy Spirit convict us, all those things go away and we follow Jesus in freedom. And then we're free to worship Him.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Lord, open our eyes.
Amen.
See? Praise God. Jesus was trying to set him free. You know, when that rare and wonderful voice of God rebukes sin in our life, that's simply God, once again, saying, I want you to come closer to me.
Amen.
When he convicts you, when he cuts, he's saying, I want you closer. And that thing is keeping you from me. The rich young ruler's money was keeping him from Jesus. Do you realize he was invited to be one of the intimate followers? He said, no, I'll take the money. Sad, isn't it? But we could do the same thing in our life. In the days of Eli, there's no open vision. To most of the world today, there's no open vision because they don't know. They don't know that God sent a prophet. They're not listening to him. But for us, in this building, this local assembly, we should not be living in darkness.
Amen. Amen.
We know.
Amen.
God sent a ministry vindicated by signs and wonders and miracles, by the scriptures, by the humility of it, by the sweetness of it. All these things vindicated Brother Branham's ministry. We should not be living in darkness.
Amen.
You should not be in darkness like the world. But we have a light.
Amen.
We have a light.
Sir, amen,
praise God. The only reason that you would live in darkness is if you pushed it away. Say, I don't have time for it. Push your Bible away. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to listen to Brother Branham. I don't have time to pray. You know what? You're helpless. You're a prisoner to the devil and you don't know it. That's the truth. But
hallelujah.
You're here today.
Amen.
And there's a voice speaking today.
Amen.
And you can say, Brother John's just picking on me. No, it's not about me at all. It's about what is truth.
Amen.
What is the truth? What, you know, think about it. Let me ask you something. What would the spirit be that would be behind the thought, you don't need to listen to Brother Branham? Do you think it would be the Holy Spirit? It's got to be a demon. And why would a demon not want you listening to Brother Branham? Because he knows better than we do that when a mortal human being sits under the ministry of Brother Branham, under that anointing, under that truth, under that voice, the devil's going to be exposed and that person's going to be set free.
Amen.
I remember for a long time, way back years ago, I was thinking that I wasn't supposed to preach. See, I had this thought had weaned in my mind and everything was hard. It was like a brass ceiling. I was like, thinking, God, I'm unworthy. You know, I am unworthy. We're all unworthy, right? But so I started believing this voice. And you know, one day I'm driving down the road, and thank God I was listening to Brother Branham. And he said something, and just like that, it broke. He said, there is no retreat in God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And bam, it hit me right between the eyes.
Amen.
And I thought, this voice that's coming to me, telling me to back off because I'm no good. It's not God. The devil was exposed because I submitted myself under that open vision of the last days and exposed the devil lying to me.
Amen.
Trying to get me to quit. If you got a voice telling you to quit and go somewhere, that is the devil. Jesus will say, you can overcome.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You're an overcomer.
Amen.
Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Hallelujah.
See, we're listening to the wrong voice.
Amen.
And I thank God so many times in my life that, you know, I just get under Brother Branham. I remember one time I was driving down the road and the Spirit of God, you know, just get an anointing on you and Spirit of God starts talking to you. And I started seeing how I was kind of rough with one of my kids. Put my head down. Oh, God, forgive me. I don't want to be rough with my sons like that. We do things that are wrong. We need correction.
Amen. Amen. Every day. Hallelujah.
And you know, he didn't just let me off the hook. He said, I heard a voice, said, I don't treat you like that. Oh my. The Spirit of God just cutting me. But you know, it helped me.
Amen.
And I was determined to be a better father.
Amen.
I'm not going to mistreat my children and mistreat my family and go on professing to be a Christian.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know, anybody can have a bad day. You know, and that don't make your whole life. But what we need is access to God's Spirit to correct us. So you don't keep going on having bad day after bad day after bad year after decade of abusing your own family because you got some demon spirit on you. Set us free, Lord.
Amen.
Set us free. We should not be living in darkness. Let me hear that quote, Sean, about so many voices in the day. So many voices. Brother Bam, back in 1963. And today, listen, one of the reasons that the church is in its condition is because there's so many voices. So many other voices to attract the church from the voice of God, till it's very doubtful that many would hear the voice of God, though it was spoke right in their midst. They perhaps wouldn't even understand it because it would be a foreign thing to them. They have got themselves so much centered on the voices of the day. If we notice in the scripture reading, the voice of God was foreign to them, talking about Eli. And it's become the way again today that the voice of God, there's so many other voices. And then if God, He promised give us, He would give us that, and if the other voices are contrary to the voice of God, then it must be the voice of the enemy to confuse us, that we would not understand the voice of God when it was spoke. Down to verse 30, paragraph 31, and there are so many voices in the earth today that it's absolutely a hard thing because it deadens. Now watch this, the demon, this is what he does. It deadens the voice of the supernatural. There are so many intellectual voices, great voices of mighty men who are intellectual, that in their intellectual conditions even shake the nations. They're just not overnight people, but they shake nations, bringing great organizations together, great campaigns, flowery, and a person would be a bit confused. It's enough to confuse them of how that these go on and prosper. Prosperity don't mean you're right with God.
Amen.
And there's voices that raise up and do these things, and it causes the voice of God to be placed way back somewhere, the true voice of God. And the voice of God, now listen, they say, how will we know it was the voice of God? Because for today, it was a vindicated prophet. Now today, how do we know it's the voice of God? Because it's the manifestation of the prophet's word.
Amen.
This is God's prophet, and a true voice of God only brings back the real living supernatural God with His supernatural word, with the supernatural manifestation of the true word. I'll tell you what, Brother Branham was a prophet of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
He didn't just talk about it, he delivered it. And he gave us a faith back at the original so that no matter what happens, our expectation would be for a supernatural God.
Amen.
He did not come with his flowery speeches and you know, even Moses felt like he couldn't talk. And you know, God doesn't pick things that are great according to this world. Brother Branham was uneducated, illiterate. God used him powerfully.
Amen.
And he's saying, even in his time, men of great intellect had contrary voices, moving people away from the supernatural. That's happened around the message of the hour.
Amen.
People have taken the message, made it some intellectual thing, and they're moving away from the supernatural, moving away from the baptism of the Holy Ghost, moving away from a Pentecostal experience. We need an old-fashioned Pentecost!
Hey, hallelujah!
That was the voice of this message. Those other intellectual voices, oh, they're great men. They have powerful ministries. They have influence in many nations. And they're dead wrong.
Amen.
Demon intellectual spirits infiltrating the message of the hour to move people away from the main thing, which is a Pentecostal experience.
Amen.
God help us to see it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Be careful what voices you're listening to.
Amen.
Brother Bram said, listen to this quote. I didn't give this to you, Sean, but he said, politics has a stronger voice than the voice of God in the churches. Politics! Do you realize that's a voice? And there's a spirit behind that voice.
Amen.
And that spirit's motivating you to do action. Is it Christ? I don't think Christ is in politics. I don't think he has nothing to do with it. Why do I say that? I look back in his day, he had nothing to do with the Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, with the Romans. They were all against him. You know what the political voice say? Oh, if you believe God, you have to do what we say. That's a bunch of nonsense. Jesus had nothing to do with them, and Jesus accomplished what he came for.
Amen.
We don't need it, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Don't get caught up into it. It's not for us.
Amen.
We have something better.
Amen.
We have something better to feed on. Praise God. I'm almost finished here.
Hallelujah.
I really am not mad. I love you. God knows my heart. I love you with all my heart.
Amen.
But I got to say what's on my heart.
Amen.
I'm not here to... You know, I could go somewhere else where there's more people, but I'm here because I believe God wants me here.
Amen.
It's not about how many people. It's about obeying God and doing what God wants you to do.
Hallelujah.
Regardless of the cost.
Amen.
Doesn't matter.
Amen.
What a sad condition. People, that it would be a rare thing to hear the voice of God. You know, we need to get away from any spirits pulling us away from this message. I'm telling you right now. We need, you know... Brother Bram said, "The surprise at judgment won't be the surprise. It won't be the bootlegger." He said, "It won't be the adulterer. They know they're wrong. The liar, the bootlegger, prostitute. They know they're wrong." He said, "The surprises at judgment will be those who think they're going, and they'll be turned down. The ones that didn't know they were wrong." Religious and wrong. You know, the best way for us to know we stand with God, and this is my advice, and I think it's eternal advice, is read your Bible and pray.
Amen.
Make time to pray. Like I said yesterday, I had all this time. I got caught up. I didn't want to come down.
Amen.
I'm like, "Lord, this is so wonderful. You know, I got to break myself free so I can spend more time like that with God." It just makes me realize prayer, it doesn't help God, it helps us.
Amen.
It's not about duty, it's about getting free from all your wrong thinking.
Lord Jesus, amen.
It's about being washed by the water of the Word and the Spirit of God and having the floods come of His Spirit and of all the wonderful thoughts He has. Read your Bible and pray sincerely until you hear the voice of God, and listen to that vindicated message God sent to us in this age.
Amen.
Listen to it. Make time for it. You know, God help us.
Hallelujah. Help us.
He said, He promised, "If you seek me with all your heart, you'll surely find me." He said, "They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled." I've taken comfort from that little verse so many times.
Amen.
Because I know in my heart, I hunger for God. I thirst after God. You said, "I shall be filled, Lord." Keep you coming back to God. Keep coming back to God. You know, Zechariah 14 said, "But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at the evening time it shall be light."
Amen.
It shall be light. Let's all stand. Don't lose hope. If the Lord convicts you, respond quickly.
Amen.
Quickly repent, the Bible says.
Amen.
Repent quickly and let Him do the work that he does best. I can't tell you how to live. I can't tell you how to live. I need help from God every day.
Amen.
I'm just trying to do what He wants me to do here. And then you go forth from here and you seek God with all your heart and let the Holy Spirit reign in your life and tell you how to live,
Amen.
Tell you what to do.
Amen.
I don't want to rule over you. I want the Holy Ghost to rule over you. And then if I'm in trouble, you can help me. Right?
Right.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, I'm trembling, Lord. I just feel that You're here today. I just believe that this is Your voice calling us to Yourself, drawing us away from sin, away from the world, Lord. We know it's time for You to come back, Lord. Your prophet's come and gone. His message is still here. Oh Lord, may we all find more time. May we make the time to feed on that open vision, Lord. May we make the time to read our Bible and pray. Seek you with all of our heart, Lord. Oh God, so many voices today. Shut down the voices, Lord, that are not yours. Shut down the noise. Give us wisdom, Lord God. Fill us with your Spirit. Open our eyes that we can see, Lord. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord. Help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's Jesus I really want to see. It's Jesus I really want to see. The more I see of this world, the less it means to me. Oh, it's Jesus I really want to see. Pray. Let's sing that again, but instead, when it says, the more I see of this world, how about the more I see of myself, the less I mean to me. Let's sing it like that. It's Jesus I really want to see. It's Jesus I really want to see. The more I see of myself, the less I mean to me. Oh, it's Jesus I really want to see.